We are joined this morning by Dr. Gus Alva, who is a assistant professor at University of California, Riverside Medical School, Department of Neuroscience, and also with us, Michelle Rios, bilingual caregiver to her mother who passed away from Parkinson's disease. She's also working with the Parkinson's Disease Foundation. And we're here to talk about an interesting aspect of Parkinson's disease, as well as a collaboration between Acadia Pharmaceutical and StoryCorps about special Yours Truly campaign. Dr. Alva, if we could start out with a diagnosis of what is Parkinson's disease, and then specifically how we're going to talk about these non-motor symptoms.
You bet, Bruce. Well, we know that Parkinson's disease is a neurodegenerative condition that is recognized as a movement disorder, where people have very slow movement, typically rigidity, tremor, and difficulty with gait. That's what oftentimes pops into people's minds when they think of Parkinson's disease. What they oftentimes miss is the other half, the non-motor symptoms, the conditions that oftentimes affect people even before the motor symptoms set in, like constipation, excessive daytime sleepiness, problems with nightmares, depression, memory problems, and probably the scariest thing would be psychosis, meaning hallucinations and or delusions. Believe it or not, Bruce, one out of two people will experience hallucinations and or delusions in the course of their Parkinson's disease, but 9 out of 10 of those individuals are fearful to divulge that they're experiencing those symptoms because oftentimes they fail to recognize that this is part of the illness. So imagine, you've got Parkinson's, and then all of a sudden you start thinking, oh, my God, on top of this, I'm going crazy. I don't know if I want to speak about this. And then people suffer in silence. So this campaign is truly earmarked as an educational campaign that's bilingual and multicultural in nature. So it encompasses English and Spanish to educate the public about non-motor symptoms associated with Parkinson's disease, so that people can seek out the appropriate attention and help should they be experiencing these symptoms and not be ashamed or stigmatized in addressing them.
Michelle, is that similar to what a story that you went through with your mother? Can you share that with us today?
Yes, of course. My mom did not want to talk about some of the symptoms that she was experiencing with Parkinson's. She was embarrassed and she was afraid of what was happening to her. She didn't want her family and friends to see that she was experiencing fatigue, that she had problems with her bladder, and she certainly did not want to talk about depression. The challenging thing with this was that as family, we weren't able to help her. We didn't know what was happening to her. She wasn't talking about it, and we didn't know how to help her. We worked on it, and we were able to start communicating. We were able to get her more comfortable with talking about it, and then we were able to seek help. She didn't experience hallucinations, but I have seen hallucinations in other people in the community, and I've seen the challenges that this brings to the family. If they're able to talk about these symptoms and get help from their physician, they can live better, a better life with Parkinson's, and that's why talking about it is so important.
Well, that's one sort of thing. You could have a sit-down and conversation a little bit. Having this recorded for other people to listen to might have a different impact on it, or even listening to the stories. Tell me a little bit, Doctor, how that kind of benefits people, either hearing, you know, whether they say it themselves or hearing their story in someone else.
Yeah, you bet. It's enormous, right? When you share your own experiences, you're empowering other individuals that might be going through similar, travails. And by creating a bigger library of experiences, it really empowers individuals appropriately. You know, different communities, particularly our Hispanic community, oftentimes there's shame and stigma associated with certain features like hallucinations and or delusions. So if someone hears that other people are experiencing similar problems or travails, they'll probably become more emboldened to actually voice or speak about what they're experiencing as well. So this is really a clever way of doing things, right? Storytelling and empowering individuals with information. This site, yourstrulypdp.com, offers individuals resources about Parkinson's disease, including non-motor symptoms.
it gives different symptoms about that, so you can sort of see something and understand the diagnosis. Sometimes when you have a physician like yourself maybe talking to them, they kind of blank out, or there's a list of certain things, but maybe even hearing it from a quote-unquote average person, maybe it sinks in a little bit better for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Michelle, talk a little bit about your involvement with Parkinson's and how you work through the bilingual Spanish-speaking community to kind of bridge the gap that might be there.
Yes, when my mom and I, or when our family and I began this journey with Parkinson's, there were very limited resources available, especially in Spanish. It was difficult to get help with resources and to participate in programs that were not in the language that my mom was most comfortable with. When my mom passed away, I knew that I wanted to help. I wanted to give purpose to what she had gone through and what our family had gone through. So I started getting involved, and I was able to contact organizations that helped me start support groups in Spanish that were not available in my community. Along with that, I volunteered any opportunity that I got to help the community, to help Spanish-speaking communities, even being involved in programs that helped to bring awareness to hospitals about caring for people with Parkinson's and the importance of getting their medications on time. We're in a really important time where there are a lot of community leaders, organizations, and patient advocates that are trying to bring resources to the Parkinson's community, and especially in Spanish. This campaign, the storytelling campaign with StoryCorps and yours truly, is important. It's giving a voice to the experiences of those living with Parkinson's and those caregiving for those with Parkinson's.
They list it as sort of a history. They talk about that. You know, in other words, it's there for future generations. That's kind of the plan, right? You have the stories of these people that have it, and other people at some other point may be impacted by that. Here's a little bit of the story of Daryl and Pam.
I think I noticed your Parkinson's before you realized it. It was the tremor in your hand. And I didn't say anything when I first suspected it. I just kind of monitored it for a while, but when I finally asked about it, you really didn't know what to say, I guess. So I made you go to the doctor and we got some tests ran. So technically you got diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2019. It's been a slow progression. How are you feeling about it right now, babe?
When I first noticed it, it scared me. It's a disease that doesn't allow you to do anything. It attacks you greatly. It robs you of your making decisions on what direction to take. It's a hurting disease because what you like to do and how you like to do it is...
All right, he's having a moment right now. All right, honey, so what is your happiest moment?
Every day that I'm alive is a happy moment.
Well, how do people go about becoming a part of that storytelling?
It's pretty easy. All you do is go to the website, yourstrulypdp.com. There's links, there's resources there, and there's an opportunity not only to hear other people's stories, but also share your own.
Yourstrulypdp.com to find out more about this information. Dr. Alva and Michelle, Sure. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bruce.